Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, Steve, I know that you were talking and sharing with us. We didn't get a chance last week. You were going to talk to us about spiritual vagabonds, and I know you've been reading John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, and we've enjoyed it. We've been sharing on VFN Radio some of the things that spoke to you. Share with us, what are you talking about, spiritual vagabonds?
Well, you know, recently, last week, I was just sharing the last thing that guy was speaking to me about, just as far as the process of getting your roots. Mm-hmm. And those storms in our lives, and those times of difficulty, and allowing God to work on us. You know, God is the potter's hands, and we're the clay, and we just have to submit to what God's doing. And what John Bevere is writing about is the fact of if we don't submit to those situations, if we don't submit to those hardships. And this is what he talks about. He says, a believer who chooses to delight in the Word of God in the midst of adversity will avoid being offended. Because we can focus on the adversity and not on God's purpose, not on the Word of God or what God's doing. He continues on. He says, that person will be like a tree whose roots search deep to where the Spirit provides strength and nourishment. He will draw from the well of deep within his spirit. This will mature him to the point where adversity will now be the catalyst for fruit. Mm-hmm. And what I thought was significant about that is he uses an analogy talking about the fact of Florida orange trees. The more difficult, the more hardship of the winter, the sweeter the fruit. And it just made me think about that. It's just like we can get so caught up in the fact of the season we're going through and miss out on the fact that God is preparing our fruit.
Mm-hmm. Can you say that again? Tell me about this orange thing now. What was that?
In Florida, those who are, let's say, like orange harvesters or orange farmers, those who are locals in Florida, they know that the more difficult, the harsher winter will produce a sweeter orange fruit the following season.
Wow.
Because the roots have had time to strengthen, to go through that time of adversity, and it produces a sweeter fruit.
Wow.
And it's the exact same thing what God does in our life, but what I got... What was focusing on me is the fact that if we choose to focus on the Word of God amidst adversity, that adversity will be the catalyst for fruit. And on the flip side, this is where John Bevere was really getting my attention. He says, if we don't and we lose that place of focusing on the Word of God, he says, you then become a spiritual vagabond. And that word just kind of leaped at me, and I was like, okay, that doesn't sound good, but what exactly is a vagabond? Because you really have to understand what a vagabond is to understand the downside of this. And a vagabond is like, means a few things. Wandering from place to place without any settled home, leading an unsettled or carefree life, a disreputable, shiftless, or pertaining to a characteristic of a vagabond, having an uncertain or irregular course or direction. And we're talking about what a vagabond is. And it says, or a person usually without a permanent home who wanders from place to place. Or lastly, an idle wanderer without a permanent home or visible means of support. And I just kind of thought about that. And it's just like, that's how we can end up if we're focusing on the hardship.
Right.
If we're not focusing on what God's doing. And back to John Bevere writes, he says, you then become a spiritual vagabond wandering from place to place, suspicious and afraid that others will mistreat you because we got offended in those hardships. He says, crippled and hindered in your ability to produce spiritual fruit, you struggle in a self-centered life, eating the remains of the fruit of others. And I just just sat and thought about those moments where I just focused on when I got offended.
Right, we focus on the pain.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, what God's actually doing, what he's producing.
Yeah.
Those good oranges you were talking about.
Right.
And the pain is our pride. The pain is, you know, my feelings got hurt. And the truth is that, you know, I remember someone used to say, you bring your toes in. because I'm about to step on your toes a little bit. You know, our toes need to be stepped on a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
You need to build some calluses up on the joke.
Yeah, you need to build some calluses on them, because my goodness, you know, if you're constantly offended by the truth, then you got to ask yourself, I mean, do you really want the truth? Do you want the truth? And the spiritual vagabond, what happened is that folks would go from place to place or from people to people, because as soon as somebody got close to share,
then that's when they pull away.
Pull away.
And then move on to another place. And that's the biggest question, is do we want truth or do we want comfort?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
oh, that's good. Say that again.
I said, do we want truth or do we want comfort? You know, I think about the scripture that says is that they wanted a word that their itching ears wanted to hear. And I think that's, I can't remember the specific scripture, but that's so significant, because if we don't pay attention to, you know, God working on our lives, and we just pay attention to those or we just pay attention to the hardships, we're going to lose sight of what God's trying to do, because it comes down to the fruit in our lives. Because Jesus says, unless you abide in me, you have no fruit. You know, you're not part of the vine. And that's where it really, it all comes back to being offended. It all comes back to, are we focusing on ourselves? Because anytime that we find ourselves thinking selfishly, you can always trace it back to, where did we think that we got offended? Where did we think we were owed something?
Mm-hmm.
And it just continues to just build, because John Bevere writes, he says, offended people still may experience miracles, words of utterance, strong preaching, and healing in their lives. But these are gifts of the Spirit, not fruits. We will be judged according to fruit, not gifting.
Mm.
A gift is given. Fruit is cultivated.
Wow.
And it goes back to that tree in the hard winter. And it's just like, we can be in the midst of a ministry, walking in offense, while a gift is given to us. And all the while, there's no fruit in our lives. We're living off of the trees around us. We're living off the fruit around us that are willing to have their roots strengthened and going deeper. And it's just like, God, help me to embrace you cultivating my life so that I can bear fruit for other people to grow on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, God, help me not to be a spiritual vagabond. Help me not to get focused on comfort and just allow you to work truth.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Proverbs talks about how correction is the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, if you're not abiding, how can you possibly know what God is saying? And, you know, God will speak to us. He'll encourage you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll correct you. But if you're not spending, you know, time in God's word daily, how can you hear that? How would you know that you're off unless you actually know what's the path you need to supposed to be on?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a process. You need to be discipled. You need to be on a journey towards Christ's likeness. We're all on a journey towards Christ's likeness. And that's what a Christian means, by the way, Christ-like. And from the time that you give your life to the Lord and you start abiding and you begin a discipleship process, you need to be discipled, you're becoming more like the Lord, which means, like John the Baptist said, less of me and more of you.
Yeah.
And the things about us and the things that are not of God and, you know, that's gotten into the fleshly nature, those are the things that God wants to remove out of our life to help us so that we can be more like him. And we are more like him not when we're operating in the gifts or when we sing an anointed song or we preach a great sermon or do something, you know, for God. We're more like him when we actually treat others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we actually see fruit in our lives that points to the fact that, man, wow, they walk with the Lord, not because of gifting or talent or anointings, but because their character has been formulated as such. You know, that segment that you're talking about, the title of it is Avoiding Hardships Can Result in Missing Your Destiny.
Yeah.
And if you miss that, this is going to be related to On the Torch. But what's so powerful about that is that you go through, if you're not willing to go through the hardships, if you're not willing to go through those seasons of molding and shaping and training, you can never have what God really has for you.
Yeah.
And so you see that from time to time, just hop. Don't bring the circumcision knife close. Don't bring it close because it's going to cause pain.
Right. Well, you just, like you're talking about the preparation and just, I mean, I think about the analogies and so often we see it every day, and think about the food that we eat. It has to be prepared. It has to be
worked. It has to be made ready for us to be able to eat. And it's the same thing that we have to have spiritual food. It's just that God has to prepare us for our fruit to be ready to be eaten, you know, spiritually, in the spiritual sense, to help others grow. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we can't avoid the preparation. We can't, we can't skip the process.
All right. If we want fruit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good, I mean, good fruit. You certainly can't. Yeah.
Right. There's a difference.
You can't skip it. You can't skip it, but I know what you're saying.
It just doesn't end well.
But it doesn't end well. You're right. Right. Yeah. And you're not going to have what you want and what God has for your life. You know, John 15, it tells us, verse 5, you know, Jesus speaking, I am the vine and you're the branches. And if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. And get this. This is where it really hits home. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole thing. God has appointed us to what? Bear fruit, and fruit that clearly shows that we are God's disciples, that we belong to God. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, because even Jesus said, you'll know them by their
Fruit.
By their fruit.
Yeah.
And it's important to go through the process. It's important to allow truth to be spoken in your life, and then take, you know, run with that.
Not only receive it, but then apply it to your life and see where the areas of your life don't match up, and be willing to make those decisions and correct those decisions in your own life, those self-corrections, to be able to have your life reflect the truth, reflect where it adds up.
Absolutely. And oftentimes when you see offense, what you're seeing is pride.
Yeah.
Because the offense is like, well, what do you mean?
Well, yeah, it's just being self-centered. It's the fact that at that moment you just now had a contradiction or a riff with hearing truth and what should be happening, as opposed to what I wanted to happen or what I think should be happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you sure this is really me? Are you sure? That's right. What the Bible tells us, that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. Mm-hmm. And we really should be evaluating and praying in our time of prayer. How are we showing up? You know, there's a perception of, people have a perceived way of thinking of how they show up, and then there is an actual way that you show up.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that both of those are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your perception that you're showing up, quote unquote, to wherever is a certain way, that's your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But yet in reality, you're showing up in a different way, which is one that's not bearing fruit, that honors the Lord, then that's not good. You're not living in reality.
Right.
I think about a time that, I mean, God has reminded me about many, many times, because it's so applicable in so many different situations. We came together as a family, and God gave me a creative idea to bring everyone together where it was kind of an entertaining, like a game where we could have everyone involved. Well, I was speaking just for a brief moment, and then I moved into the other room to, you know, get a bite to eat or whatever. But I didn't even realize the fact that I totally separated myself from the family at that time, when it was my idea to bring the family together. And just through the love of God, was able to bring, you know, God brought those who were close to me to bring correction in my life and just show me what I just did. When all the while I was never open to it. It's like, no, that's not what I intended. That's not what that wasn't my intentions. But sometimes if we're open to it, when we are open to it, we can see that our intentions don't match what we did. Man, just because we intended differently doesn't mean that's what we did, because people are going to see what you did.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And that's powerful, because we judge others by their realities, not their intentions. But when it comes to us,
we look at our intentions.
Right.
We want everyone to judge us by our intentions and not our realities.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you know, people have used intentions as an excuse for whatever they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I didn't mean to do that, or that wasn't in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It may have not been, and maybe no doubt that it wasn't your intention, but the reality, the result, the fruit of what happened is still something happened.
Yeah. That's right.
Something did happen. And it's just a point in your walk with God where you just want to be humble. You want to say, God, you know, I want everything that you have for me. And be open to admitting that you're not there yet. Mm. You're not there yet. No man is an island. No woman is an island. Nobody stands alone. And thank God for brothers, sisters, pastors, ministers, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, mentors, someone in your life that's willing to tell you what others won't even tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. And there's a sharpening that needs to happen in our life. There's a cutting off that needs to happen in our life so that we can bear fruit. Listen, everything in the kingdom gets the knife. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're not bearing fruit, it gets cut off. And if you're bearing some fruit, you still get pruned. You still get cut so that you can what? Bear more fruit. Mm-hmm. But everything in the kingdom gets the knife. And if you're running from the knife, you're running from the very thing that's going to produce a fruit in your life that God wants to produce. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is a season that God's really showing so much. And we want to be in step with what God's saying and what God's doing and guarding ourselves from being offended, guarding ourselves from moving in pride, and really to being open in humility and transparency. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we've heard that the definition of humility is total dependency upon God and respect for other people. And when you're total dependent, you're just trusting God for everything. There are no assumptions. You're not running into things, but you're slowing down to the pace of really understanding that if God doesn't do this, God doesn't do this, you understand, it ain't gonna happen. This is not, God has to show up. And it matters how we treat others. It matters how we treat others. I'll tell you what, let's not get offended. Mm. Let's not be spiritual vagabonds going from place to place, but let's allow God to do what he wants to do in our life so that we can have the fruit that he has created us and appointed us for. Oh, my goodness. You don't want to be a spiritual vagabond because a vagabond doesn't have a place, doesn't have a home. You know, sifting and shifting from place to place.
Wanderer, yeah.
A wanderer. Listen, when you don't have home, that means you don't have family. You don't have relationship. You know, relationships that count, relationships that mean something, all those relationships have actually gone through something, that there's a sticking power to them because they went through maybe some trials or some hardships, or someone helped us during a really challenging, difficult time in our life. And spiritual vagabonds don't have that to lean on. They just go from place to place, and they don't have any real, true, authentic relationships. And that's what's missing a lot, so much, even in the church. I mean, the church, you know, the church is supposed to be a family, the family of God. But you see, at large, a lot of spiritual vagabonds that are just going from place to place, gathering to gathering, and they're not allowing, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, roots to go down deep and to weather the storms. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when the church comes together, it really should be a hospital where people are coming to grow, to be mended. You know, we're getting fixed. We're getting closer and closer to be like the Lord. And that's our path. And you know, we get saved and we give our lives to Jesus. We want to be like him. We want to be just like the Lord. I mean, obviously, we're never going to be perfect and sinless like him. But my goodness, the things about him, we want to see his fruit and his character manifest in our life. We want to see the fruit, the Spirit, no less, in our life. And that's our journey. That's what we're on. Till the time that we're taken home, we want to be more and more and more like him. But what happens, what interrupts that path is a spiritual complacency, but also that it comes to a point in our life that if we're going to grow in God. You know, there are things that happen in the outer court that couldn't happen in the inner court. You know what I'm saying? The closer and closer we get to God, the less and less of us needs to be there.
Right.
And so God says, listen, it's an open invitation. I mean, come. But you can't bring that with you.
Right.
And there has to be a point in your life when you make a conscientious decision to say, I'm not happy to be on the outer courts anymore. I'm not happy to be around God and of God and just being present and being a part and enjoying other people's fruit. but I want to have my own food. I want to be in the holy place. I want to be as closest to God as possible too. I desire him. And we're going to talk about desiring God, hopefully, before the end of the hour. But I desire him. I want him. And what's so powerful about that is that in order for you to receive more and really, you know, get closer to him in the inner court, less of you has to go away. And, and the part of you that doesn't line up with God. And it takes courage, it takes desire, and it takes a willingness to go through the circumcision of the heart to remove those things so that true fruit can grow. And it's just powerful. Powerful. Don't be shiftless anymore. Don't go wherever the wind blows. You got another word. I think I got to go to a another place.
God's calling me to a different
God's calling me.
That's the good one.
God's calling me.
Yeah.
Well, God ain't calling you.
Be careful what you lay at the name of the Lord's feet.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
I mean, my goodness. Have the fear of the Lord.
I know. God's calling you. Wait a minute. How could God be calling you? I thought God called you here. And then now he just tomorrow called you there. I mean, and what you'll find is that allow what instrument God wants to use. And you know what? Oftentimes you can't measure it by yourself. I mean, the Bible says, you know, those who judge themselves by themselves are not wise. You got to stop comparing your walk to somebody else's walk. Everybody's walk is different. Everyone has different processes and different things that have happened in their own life. And that, you know, different things have to happen. And be willing to say, you know what, God, whatever you want to do in my life, you, first of all, you don't have to run it through me. And secondly, it doesn't have to make sense. You know, it's like, who lays on the operating table and begins to tell the doctor, oh, can you use that knife? I don't like that scalpel. Can you use the smaller knife? Can you use that instrument over there? No, you don't tell the doctor what you want him to use. Because guess what? You don't know. But we can't take that same approach when it comes to God. I don't like that form of correction. No, not that knife. Do you have something smoother that can buff this area out? Yeah, I like the smooth buff. I don't like the. No, you need the 80 grit, bro. You need, you know, do that. You need the 80 grit here because this stuff needs to come on down. You know, I want the finer pad. I want the buffing. And that's a problem. So many people have had the buffing and the polishing, and it's like there's nothing to buff here. It's like we need to scrape this whole thing off and start
all
over.
Needs to be removed.
Yeah. There's nothing to buff. There's nothing to buff. And we got to get down to the core of what has to happen. And that's on my mind because I saw a video on refinishing floors.
Wait, what?
Well, I saw this video.
You were doing what?
No. I saw this video on refinishing floors. And it just kind of just popped in there because I was seeing them just scrape these hardwood floors. I mean, these things were nasty. And they had issues. I mean, hardwood floors are really nice quality type of flooring.
Yeah.
But yet the top surface of them, either they were discolored, something had happened, they lost their shine or their sheen, if you will, and they just needed to be redone. And it's amazing that just with a little bit of effort, the proper tools, and the proper application of sandpaper, the right one, because you can't use a fine sand. You need to use, you know, a heavier grit. To do a better work. It was amazing how, I mean, just that whatever was there would just got just removed. It was like it was like a cutting. And you can see the guy moving this machine just as he's moving from one end of the room to the other. Then once he was done, he decided to use a more finer sandpaper, I guess, to kind of smooth it out some. And just kind of reminded me about some of the process that we need to go to. We're trying to wax a floor in our life or put some, you know, some of that solution, I forget what you call it, Murphy's oil on that thing and clean it up. And it's like, no, we don't need to polish that. That thing needs to be sanded down and start all over again.
And why you mentioned that, it's also important who's on the other end of that sander.
Oh, yes.
I mean, because you can sand something to death and burn a hole to slap through it.
That's true.
Or scar it.
That's true. Yeah,
and create unevenness
exactly
in the wood. So you know when somebody's doing that to you, spiritually speaking, it's important that person's, you know, somebody that loves you and cares about you, not just anybody.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. Hopefully, you're right. You've taken the time to build relationship with somebody, that you have someone in your life that would even attempt to pick up the sander.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Most people wouldn't even attempt to say, oh, no, that's fine. It looks good. Yep, put some oil on there. Put some Murphy's thing. It looks just great. Mm-hmm. I ain't bringing up that sander because it's a job. It's but because we love each other, because we in humility say, God, you know, we'll do our best here. We're going to help other people get to where they need to be so that they can have what they've always wanted to have. I mean, that's the whole thing. God is bringing us to a place, you know, but we got to be willing to allow him to bring us to that place. If not, we stay in kind of this nomad zone,
right?
You know, and this is where apathy and complacency and all this thing happens to us because, you know, at one point you don't want to, you're not going to go back to the world. Let's say you don't want to go to the world because you love the Lord, but then at the same time, you don't want to get close enough to the Lord for him to remove the obstacles and the things that are in your life. So where are you?
Yeah.
You're in a nomad's land. Really, you're not. I mean, you're getting further and further and further out.
Yeah. Well, I think about what you said too, Pat, about the fact that, you know, it really depends on who's on the other side of that sandpaper. And you can always tell the one who's been trained by that
who's been
paper,
under the
who's been
the buffer or sander,
who's been buffed, I guess you could say, who's received it.
Yeah,
because if you haven't received it, you don't know how to
deliver it
correctly, apply it. Because a lot of times you don't pay attention to how it is on the receiving end. You can hurt somebody.
Yeah,
you said, and I think about in Proverbs 27, it says wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And you think about that, and it's just like sometimes we can receive something as a wound, but in the reality of it, that was love because it was speaking truth. It was speaking correction. That's that buffering, that sanding away in our lives, getting out what's not of God so that what is God can come to the surface.
Yeah, because oftentimes people will think that pain doesn't mean God. No. Your just feelings got hurt. It was God. It was God. It was just your pride that was hurt. Going through a process doesn't mean that you're not going to feel pain. Pain is that maybe we all practice. This is a great a scripture you just read. I've quoted it many times, even for my own self. But, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Think about that. Faithful, how could you never associate, you know, a wound from a friend, and you don't ever associate kisses from an enemy? What is that? You know, they're kind of two different concepts on two different worlds, and the fact of the wounds from a friend is someone that actually is caring enough about you to say something or to help you. And, you know, they say truth hurts, you know, but you know what? So does getting a splinter out your finger. I mean, do you walk around staying with the splinter in your finger? Or do you go through the pain to get it removed?
Take it out.
You know, or you think about all the surgeries and all the things that people go through. I know someone, I heard of someone, I didn't know them personally, but I knew someone who actually had this growth or something on their body that just kept hurting them, and they never went to the doctor or never got it checked out. And it's like, that's a clue that something's not right there. You know, not long after that, the person died.
Oh, wow.
But they weren't willing to go to, and there's a lot of folks like that are terrified of going to the doctor or terrified of getting surgery or you understand that this is necessary. This is necessary. I didn't even think about even sheep that, you know, in biblical times or even now, I guess, where they're still training them, that if they wander away, that means the shepherd, because he loves the sheep, actually breaks the sheep's leg. You know, it keeps them from running.
Oh, wow.
So that they actually don't go and kill themselves. Yeah. And he mends the leg and him. It's a last, I would imagine, resort.
Right.
But it helps the sheep or the lamb not to run on out and get totally destroyed, and it keeps that lamb close. Sometimes God will allow us to go through a broken process, not because he wants to see us grovel or be in pain, but it's something about brokenness that allows us, that draws us close to God. It's something about being broken, hurt, contrite, crushed, that draws us low and close. And that's the place we want to be, low and close and open, so that God can do whatever he wants to do. Listen, surgery doesn't last forever. P- you know, the whole idea so that we can get better mm-hmm. and we can have more fruit in our lives to do everything that God's ever called us to do and walk with him. That's the joy. Mm-hmm. We can walk together with God in greater areas and in greater ways. And we're discussing The Bait of Satan, a book that was written by John Bevere. I highly recommend it. It's a great book, and it's been great talking about some of the truths that John writes about in his book. But that's the greatest thing that, you know, Satan, bag of tricks that he doesn't have any new bag of tricks, but these bag of tricks are designed to separate close relationships. It's really, mm-hmm. you know, you can't get offended from the person across the street that you don't even know. I mean, you could, mm-hmm. but it's not a lasting offense. But the only those that are really closest to you and you have a relationship that you can actually get offended. I'm shocked and surprised that those that actually are clueless that you actually can get offended. Mm-hmm. Okay. I often say that, listen, I mean, these are folks, how about folks that actually get married? They say that they want to be committed. They're going to spend the rest of their life together. They're going to pay bills together. They're going to create a home and a family. And they say, this is the one person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. And 50% of those people, say they went out. You know, and oftentimes there's a huge offense. Mm-hmm. What makes you think that somebody else doesn't have that type of a commitment level in their relationship is not going to be offended? And the thing about it is that you want to always default to love. You want to guard yourself from being offended. I mean, sometimes people, you know, you can be offended and there wasn't an offense at all, but you perceived it as an offense. Or you can legitimately have something to be offended about, if you will. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you just have to release it and let it go, because you're the one that's going to crumble underneath that. You're going to be the one that's going to suffer the consequences of that. And it's just okay to say, you know what? Nobody owes me anything. And I'm just going to give that to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that way you can be at peace in your heart.
Yeah, and you just got to stay, like you're saying, you got to be vulnerable and allow yourself to just fall in the hands of Jesus himself, mm-hmm. knowing the fact that he's the one in control. Because mm-hmm. we can try to defend ourselves or try focusing on where we were done wrong or how others dropped us, knowing that it was Jesus that was holding us all along. Mm-hmm. Mm. The question is, you know, whose hands are we trusting in? Mm-hmm. Ours, others, or Jesus's?
That's right.
Powerful.
Good.
Powerful.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.